This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We'll get through this together. Hurricane Michael cannot break Florida.
Florida Governor Rick Scott, but parts of the Florida panhandle have been devastated by one of the strongest hurricanes to ever hit the United States. It was nearly a Category 5 when it came ashore yesterday near Mexico Beach and Panama City, the two communities that seem to have taken the biggest hit.
If you've never experienced a hurricane or a major storm, trust me, this is something that you never want to go through.
As aerial views of catastrophic damage start to come out of the state, officials are warning it could take weeks to get the power back on. In some spots, it could take years to rebuild some communities. A New York judge dismissing one count of Harvey Weinstein's 6-count indictment, this one involving an actress who had earlier claimed he had forced her to perform an act when she was an aspiring actress in 2004. This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the healthcare hotline. Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com.
It's rare in men in most cases, but men who lived or worked near the World Trade Center during the 9/11 attack continue to report that they have breast cancer. A lawyer for a group of them telling the New York Post the number of men with breast cancer has doubled from 15 to 30 in just the last month. That lawyer also represents 500 women who have breast cancer who lived or worked near Ground Zero. More Americans filed for jobless benefits last week than analysts were expecting. Most expected the number today to come in at about 206,000. The Labor Department says it received 214,000 requests, up 7,000 from the week before. Meanwhile, stocks seem to be stabilizing this morning after a massive sell-off yesterday. President Trump's to have lunch today with Kanye West at the White House. Trump saying earlier this week he's thrilled to have the rapper visit, calling him a terrific guy. Find us online at usaradio.com.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
First Lady Melania Trump saying today she could be the most bullied person in the world, making the remark on ABC's Good Morning America while promoting her Be Best initiative, which addresses online bullying. The First Lady suggesting the campaign was started in part because of what people are saying about her. She also said there are people working in the White House who she and President Trump cannot trust. Mrs. Trump adding, quote, some people, they don't work there anymore. China doing all it can to influence American public opinion, as we hear from USA's John Clemens.
It was part of the testimony given to Congress by Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen.
China absolutely is on an unprecedented or exerting unprecedented effort to influence American opinion. But what I was making very clear is that we have not seen to date any Chinese attempts to compromise election infrastructure.
That testimony involved a number of matters that included threats of terrorism, cybersecurity, and for all airport security measures. I'm John Clemens.
And a new approach being used to crack down on opioid abuse in Sin City as the FBI's partnered with the Drug Enforcement Administration and U.S. Attorney's Office in Las Vegas for a billboard campaign that asks Las Vegas residents to report anyone they suspect may be illegally selling or prescribing opioids. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Here, we just love America.
You call me out on the parade, so I can leave.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here, and our special guest is David Limbaugh, the lawyer, nationally syndicated columnist with Greater Syndicate, political commentator, and for full disclosure, I will tell you that David has never represented me, and maybe you someday down the road, he will, and it would be an honor to have David on my side. David, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, congratulations again on another book that is bound to be another bestseller, Jesus is Risen, Paul in the Early Church. David, something about this appointed time. Everything about Jesus is about an appointed time. And I believe your book is not by coincidence either. I think the time has been appointed with our country and chaos that it is, the tribalism that is existing, the bifurcation, the disunity, if we ever needed to be unified, sadly, it's not going to be because of a president bringing us together or anybody in Congress or any one figure. But I believe, and I think you believe the same way, that it's Jesus that unifies everything within the human spirit, and the things that we see according to our own eyes promote tribalism and promote non-inclusion and judgment and all these other things that counter a unifying spirit, does it not?
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it. And there's another thing, an aspect of this, that we are in such contentious, as you say, and chaotic times that I think it behooves us to turn to the things that matter most and turn to the person that matters most, Jesus Christ, in these troubled times, because we're not going to get solace elsewhere.
Well, clearly, you look at the division, as devout as Republicans are, just for example, on the Kavanaugh deal, and you being an attorney, this has to be very grievous for you, because the process itself, the institution of the Supreme Court, the Senate, is all in compromise right now because of this chaos.
It is, and, you know, there's these conflicting allegations and these efforts to destroy Judge Kavanaugh and his family and other people who defend him. I've never seen anything like this, and it seems to be getting worse and worse with each passing day.
Well, this is why I guess I'm grateful, because when I saw your book, I thought, boy, I'll tell you, you know, I had to smile a little bit, because, again, you know, we serve a just-in-time God, and I believe this book will do a lot to heal some wounds and to get people on the right track and realize that there is a definite higher calling for us all, and in that higher calling, we'll find the unity, we'll find the peace and true liberty, ultimately, that we're all looking for.
No question about it, but I think we must be realistic and understand that we're not going to get full unity among the masses of people. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to have strife. But in that strife, we turn to Jesus. And hopefully, of course, he is a healer, but I don't think it's realistic to think that we're going to achieve anything close to perfect healing at this
question.
Point.
No question. Not in this world when we know what we're contending with, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the evil powers that truly exist, not the evil power that some senators would want to suggest that reside in Judge Kavanaugh. But when you write, you're writing in Jesus is Risen, you take us back as an example to show us that this is what happened then, and it could happen again, right?
Yes. I mean, this is a book about the beginning of Christianity, the early church, and the formation of the church through the eyes of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, and how they spread the gospel and obeyed Christ's commission to do so, and despite unbelievable adversity and setbacks. And they persisted, and they spread the gospel throughout the Roman Empire at the time. But yes, it's a message. You know, human nature hasn't changed in 2,000 years. They experience the same kinds of trials and tribulations and adversities and depravity of human nature that we see today. That's not changed at all. We've advanced scientifically and technologically, but we're the same human beings we were then.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus' disciples they had their doubts. Fears, all the human experiences, I mean, here it is, they expected Jesus to come riding in with his Calvary to upend Rome. It didn't happen the way they said. Even Peter, you know, when Jesus said, hey, I got to go to the cross and I've got to die for humanity, all of humanity, Peter interrupted him and says, oh, no, you can't do that. And Jesus said, what are you doing? Who are you to get, in a sense, I mean, my paraphrase here, who are you to get in the way of the Father's will for my life and the greater call for all of humanity? So they had to reconcile their differences and their understanding of why Jesus came and what this was all about. So it was a process for them. It wasn't something that instantaneously, he's on the cross, he dies, they go to the tomb, it's empty. All this stuff was bewildering for them, was it not?
It's a good word. They were transferred from feckless cowards to bold proclaimers of the gospel. And the thing that turned them was the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as you say, he didn't come to overturn the existing authority of the Roman Empire and deliver a military or political victory. He came to die a humiliating death so that we could die to sin, and so that we could have his righteousness, his perfect righteousness, imputed to us, so that we could attain eternal life and salvation and redemption through him, and where we couldn't do it through following the law, because we are sinners and there's no way we can do it on our own strength. So they did reluctantly had to reframe their entire worldview, realizing that a political and military Messiah wasn't what they should have been expecting, but a savior of mankind who would in fact be hung on a tree and be accursed. They thought a Messiah couldn't be accursed. Well, the Messiah precisely was accursed. Mm-hmm. He became accursed so we wouldn't have to. That's
exactly.
What is so beautiful and how it fits together so well.
And this is why I think Paul was so necessary, because Paul understood the scriptures. He had those like on the back of his hand. He knew that that what Jesus did was fulfill all that had been said about him, all the prophecy about the Messiah coming, even to that day of appointed time when he would ride on a donkey into Jerusalem. He understood all that. It was so innate to them, but the disciples were still trying to get it. All they knew is they were around somebody who was absolutely incredible. The lame were walking. The dumb were gaining their mind and their sight again. It was absolutely miraculous. But what was it? He was crucified. And then not only do they make that exchange, David, which blows me away, is many of his disciples, you know, accepted martyrdom. I mean, they were impaled on poles leading the driveway to Nero's, palace there. I mean, it is amazing what they suffered for because they believed in Jesus Christ.
Yes, and as to go back to how you launched into this, Paul at first was the greatest persecutor of the church. He was steeped in Orthodox Judaism, and he believed that Jesus and his followers were counterfeits, and they were perverting the true religion. And so he went out to imprison and kill Christians, because he thought not that they were forming a competing religion, but they were twisting and perverting and destroying the true religion.
Exactly.
And so,
exactly. We've got more from David Limbaugh. Going to quick break. We'll be right back.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Ever wonder how Bitcoin and Ethereum were created? Vercel Media has helped hundreds of companies and individuals make their own cryptocurrency. Decentralized blockchain solutions are making the world more transparent and giving power back to the people. Vercel Media has helped companies raise tens of millions in the past year alone, structuring and marketing ICOs to the thirsty crypto public worldwide. Don't miss the cryptocurrency revolution. Visit VercelMedia.com. VercelMedia.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Bill Martinez live. Now I'm just a beggar in the pen.
minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Our guest, David Limbaugh, his brand new book, Jesus is Risen, Paul and the Early Church. David, before the break, we were talking about Paul and how God used him so magnificently and how he went from this, great persecutor of this new way, this new church that he saw as an aberrant and a challenge to the real church, and that was the Jewish faith.
Yes, and like I was saying, he was uniquely qualified to be God's evangelist to the Gentiles. And it's so interesting, it's heartbreaking. You see Paul in these letters, and I talk about, I go in this book, Jesus is Risen, I go through Acts, and then the six of Paul's epistles, the first six that he's believed to have written, and describe how he agonized over the churches that he founded that were departing from his word, and they were following false teachers, and they were doing various things wrong, and they were doing various things right. And he wrote these intimate personal letters to them. And you can imagine, I mean, this is just 2,000 years ago. It seems like a long time, but again, you can get a sense of this history, and the people were the same. And he was really encountering this agony of the people, these churches that he birthed, and watching these false teachers destroy the gospel. So just like he thought, he misapprehended the idea that Christians were distorting the Jewish faith instead of just fulfilling it. Jesus came to fulfill and complete it.
Exactly.
But he did rightly understand that these false teachers were distorting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he corrected, and he did it in no uncertain terms. And it's fascinating to watch as he sets the record straight and puts these new teachers, these new Christians, new believers in the various churches back on the correct path.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, in the Gospel of John, it's really clear. He talks about the divinity of Jesus and also the humanity of Jesus. But it was interesting that, it took 300 years more for that to finally be settled. But that was something that the apostles really had apprehended, as you write in your book. Break that down for us.
Yes, see that these people today, the critics, the skeptics, say that the gospel was not the gospel we have today was not what was originally transmitted, and that's not true. Jesus was always understood to be fully human and fully God by the earliest Christians, the apostles, and that's important that we understand. He wasn't just half one and half the other; he was fully both, which is another thing that makes. Another mystery that makes Christianity so fascinating and so true. And so Jesus was, he had to become fully human in order to suffer for us, and he had to be fully divine in order for his righteousness to cancel out the sins of mankind, past, present, and future sins.
Exactly.
And so that's what we have, and we need to understand that in order to grasp the full thrust of Christian doctrine.
And you say now, I mean, and I mentioned that 300 years later, again, this is debated about, as you know, in early church history. Again, it is raised its ugly head because we get back to that human instinct of which we hear in the book of Judges, that they begin to see things according to their own eyes. And it is in our own eyes that we limit the magnificence and the supremacy of God in our lives.
Yeah, our God, and there have been books written about this in different contexts, our God is too small. We cannot put artificial limits on Christ, limitations on the Holy Trinity, all three persons of the Godhead. And we tend to do that as human beings because we are human, and we don't have the capacity to understand the infinite. And we also don't have the full capacity to understand the marvelous glory and infinite perfection and righteousness of God, that we have to take that in faith. And we do get a glimmer of it, of course.
Exactly. Well, and it's that human desire to avoid accountability, to do as we darn well please. So if we see things according to our own eyes, we can question whether or not God really meant homosexual marriage was a problem, that pornography is an issue, sexual promiscuity, and on, and the abortion of 60 million babies is just a big yawn for for the creator of the universe, maybe, right?
Yeah, you know, and we tend in this modern era to want the church to conform to the culture rather than the culture conforming to the church. And we have this, I think there's this tension going on now with, especially with mega churches, that they want to cater so much to the culture because they want to build their numbers, expand their membership to astronomical proportions, to the point that there is a tendency for them to relax doctrine. And I'm all for compromising on things that do not affect the truth of the gospel and bending a little bit when it comes to, okay, we'll sing a little different tunes or whatever. I prefer the traditional tunes, but if you want to conform it to get young people in, but do not dilute the gospel message and dovetailing it to what we're talking about with Paul. That's really what Paul was saying. Exactly. You read these letters to the Corinthians and the Galatians and the Thessalonians, Romans. Don't you dare mess with God's word. You talk about something that's cursed, the person that messes with God's word, and that's, we have a tendency to do that, to conform to the culture, because we want to be received and accepted by man rather than worrying about doing what's right in God's eyes. And that's a universal truth that's been historically true, and we tend to succumb to that temptation, and woe to us for doing that, because we've really got to be careful to honor God's word and his truth.
David, it's pretty sad when bricks and mortar are more important than souls, huh?
Yes, it is. And I do think some of the people who try to expand the churches, I don't think they realize that they don't intend to do it. It's deceptive. Well, Satan's deceptive. He's the father of lies. We've got to be very careful. And I'm not saying in every case that
exactly.
That's what's going on. But mm-hmm. Sometimes it is going on. And people have to check themselves. And we have to be accountable. The body of Christ has to be accountable corporately, just as we individual Christians have to be accountable individually.
Exactly. We're talking with number one national best-selling author David Limbaugh, his new book, Jesus is Risen. David, in the book you talk about the first conversion to Christianity by a Gentile. Break that down, if you would.
Well, the one, there's different ones that are converted, but the one we're talking about, I think you're talking about, is Cornelius, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and it's interesting how Peter, God chose Peter to witness to Cornelius, and Cornelius, he was dealing with Cornelius and Peter through respective visions, and he brought them together, and he had told Peter that he gave Peter a vision of something coming down from the clouds where animals were unclean. He told them to rise, Peter, kill and eat, and Peter resists. He's, I can't eat anything that's unclean. And God basically showed him, you can eat anything. Nothing I make is unclean. And that was to teach him that there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. There's no reason anymore to follow the Jewish ceremonial laws, that Christ brings a new way, that there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles in God's creation. All are invited to accept God's free grace by the offer of faith, accepting faith in Jesus Christ for our salvation. So that was such a dramatic turning point in Christianity.
It really did open up the veil, did it not?
Yes. I just love that. And by the way, people say, why do you say Jews aren't saved? We don't say Jews aren't saved. We say everybody. The offer
exactly.
of salvation is open to everyone. And we have a special heart, in fact, for Jews, just as Paul did for his fellow Jewish people. So there is no strife, in my view, between Christians and Jews. And we're the biggest supporters of Israel, I think, on this planet. So, yeah. It's a unifying, as you mentioned, it's a unifying religion.
Well, David Limbaugh, as we wrap things up on your book, congratulations. It is a blessing, I believe, for all of us. Jesus is Risen, Paul in the Early Church, available at all the usual places. What's the final takeaway for our audience you'd want for the book?
I write these books to introduce people to the Bible itself and to accelerate people's learning curve and to reduce any intimidation they may feel at opening up God's word. My goal, my fervent hope is that they'll read these books, read this book in particular, Jesus is Risen, and learn a little bit about Acts and the early church and Paul's six missionary epistles, and then be inspired to go to the Bible itself and really dig in and learn more. That's my real goal here.
Well, David Limbaugh, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Number one
thank
national
you.
Best-selling author. Thank you, David. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We'll get through this together. Hurricane Michael cannot break Florida.
Florida Governor Rick Scott, but parts of the Florida panhandle have been devastated by one of the strongest hurricanes to ever hit the United States. It was nearly a Category 5 when it came ashore yesterday near Mexico Beach and Panama City, the two communities that seem to have taken the biggest hit.
If you've never experienced a hurricane or a major storm, trust me, this is something that you never want to go through.
As aerial views of catastrophic damage start to come out of the state, officials are warning it could take weeks to get the power back on in some spots. It could take years to rebuild some communities. A New York judge dismissing one count of Harvey Weinstein's 6-count indictment, this one involving an actress who had earlier claimed he had forced her to perform an act when she was an aspiring actress in 2004. This is USA Radio News.
It's time to find adventure on every drive. With Pennzoil Synthetics, you get complete protection for top engine performance. And between October 1st and November 30th, you'll get travel rewards to help you on your journey. With the purchase of any Pennzoil specialty motor oil change, you can earn up to $100 in travel reward credit. Save on hotels, rental cars, and activities. Visit Pennzoil.com/travelon to find participating locations. Pennzoil, make the switch. Travel on. Offer ends 11/30. Terms apply. Full details at Pennzoil.com/travelon.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference. So you can protect yourself and also your close-talking coworkers, high-fiving neighbors, two-month-old niece. That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance. Because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
You've reached Bill Martinez live for Spanish Press 2.
Fresh and independent right here at the intersection of faith and politics. I am Bill Martinez. Good to have you with us. 20 minutes before the top of the hour, and as promised, the one and only Jerry Cooney joins us. What an incredible story for those of us that grew up and remember Jerry Cooney, 25 years old, undefeated, heavyweight. And he is about to go head-to-head with a less-than-respected heavyweight champion in Larry Holmes. And, you know, the whole background of the whole story, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. But first of all, I want to bring Jerry on the show. Jerry, good to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez live. How are you, sir?
Hey, Billy Martinez, I'm so glad to finally get on your show. Everything is great. Blue Maine here in New Jersey, but...
Well, you're not dodging hurricanes like the west coast of Florida. I'm on the east coast of Florida, so I had a lot of friends calling. You okay? I'm fine. But Hurricane Michael really devastated some things. It's on its way up through Georgia and the Carolinas, and you know it's been a rough hurricane season for us here.
It has been, and it's a nightmare. It's getting worse, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
We're getting more and more, but.
Well, Jerry, I want you to know it's an honor to have you on. I mean, growing up, my dad, who passed away 14 years ago, I mean, watching, fights on TV together, you know, it was just, it was good fun. And we really, you know, enjoyed, you know, what you represent. I mean, at 25 years old to be thrust in the middle of everything. But before we get into that, Jerry, I understand that you just got back from Vegas and there was quite a fiasco going on there with Conor McGregor and Khabib, a UFC fight that was quite controversial. Tell our audience what happened there in Vegas that, you know, sometimes doesn't always stay in Vegas, right?
There you go. I like that. Listen, yeah, it was crazy. I mean, you know, Khabib was a guy, I mean, he was a beast that night, and I don't think McGregor could have beat him any way he looked at it, but he kept wrapping McGregor's legs up, but there was so much leading up to the fight. You know, McGregor's a great promoter.
Right.
You saw that when he fought Mayweather and the both of them kind of made hundreds of millions of dollars. But some guys, like Ollie Frazier, Ollie was great at it. Frazier didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Khabib didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And so there were a lot of bad words, and it carried over into after the fight. I mean, listen, when you saw Khabib choke him out, the referee said, okay, stop. He kept choking.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's how personally he took it. And but listen, it's a game. It was an interesting fight to see. Mm-hmm. But you kind of had to figure that, you know, Conor McGregor, when he made that big payday with Mayweather, $100 million, it kind of takes some of the fight out of you. You know what I mean? You don't have that drive anymore. And I think that's what we saw that night from him.
Well, Dandy Don Meredith once made the comment, it's hard to be hungry when you got a quarter pound of pig on your back. Maybe that's a little bit of what McGregor's been going through. But the other thing is, you say, you know, this is about the show. It's about entertainment. Muhammad Ali understood that. Before that, of course, Cassius Clay came on the scene, turned tables upside down. I mean, you weren't supposed to be all that braggadocio, I guess, unless you could back it up. And, of course, he did and right. was... you know, he was the one that everybody loved to hate, but in the right. end run, loved to love.
You know, and wannabe loved and the people that loved and the people hate him was what really hurt him in the end because he stayed too long and he took shots he shouldn't have taken. And, you know, in your car, when the ball joints go, you change the ball joints, but in the human body, you can't change the ball joints, and right. he took too many shots, and, you know, a lot of guys are affected that way.
Yeah, without a doubt, and I got to tell you, Jerry, I was honored to meet him when I was working at an L.A. radio station, and he came in and visited with us, and this was at the start where Parkinson was starting to display itself. In fact, when I heard him in the interview on the air the day before, it was like, wow, you know, is he okay? Then he came in the next day in the studio. He charming self. I mean, he could carry it off. It was like, you know, the one and only Muhammad Ali, a guy that was most amazing. And another memory that I have of him was the Olympics in Los Angeles as he was walking wow. through. You know, you have the three rings there and Howard Cosell was in the center ring and he was broadcasting. And at a distance, you started faintly hearing the crowd. Ali, and as he walked in, more and more people understood. I mean, all eyes were on him. I mean, he was that kind of character, and I think, you know, a special ambassador to the game of boxing, was he not?
Well, you know, he had a glow about him. I remember seeing him walk down in the airport, and he had this glow about him. He just had this presence that, you know, he just lit the world up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Howard Cosell and he were the best of friends.
Yes.
You know, and I loved Howard Cosell as well. But, yeah, he had that magic about himself, and he could keep performing until, you know, he took it past that point when you can't keep performing at that level anymore. And he first, early on, he prided himself around how well you couldn't hit him. And at the end of his career, he prided himself around how well he could take a punch.
Right.
And we all know today that you can't really take and absorb those shots for too long. Football players and all soccer players, they're all struggle from that, you know, concussion syndrome.
Well, you know yourself, I mean, having been in the ring, taken some shots, I mean, you were known as, I mean, you were brutal. I mean, you had, your left hook was incredible, and people knew when they felt it. And this is why Larry Holmes, when you and he got in the ring, he wanted nothing to do with your left hook.
Well, I'm glad you bring it up. I can't remember.
You're so funny.
You know, listen, yeah, you know, Holmes was a smart guy. He was a great champion. He's, you know, I'm going to tell you, in the top five in the history of the game, his name is there.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get the credit because he came after Ali. Ali was so quick-witted and funny and good-looking. And you know, Larry Holmes got resentful of that at some point.
Yeah, he was everything that Muhammad Ali was not, and in the shadow of Muhammad Ali, that was a tough. Those were tough shoes to fill.
And except he could fight like Ali, he was a very talented, skillful guy, and he learned the trade from working with Ali all those years. He was in his training camp all the years. You know, people don't know, but Larry Holmes worked with Frazier, with Norton, with Muhammad Ali all those years as a sparring partner when there was no money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're sitting there, and as you said, Larry Holmes was underestimated on so many levels. And speaking of running into somebody at the airport, I happened to run into him at the airport, and there was such a sense of humility about him. I would say that's what struck me immediately. It was, you know, and he was kind of surprised when I, you know, caught his eye and I said, "Hey, champ, how you doing?" You know, and he lightened up a little bit. I think he appreciated the acknowledgement, because for so many years, as you say, he was so underestimated and underappreciated. But I'm glad to hear you say that in your ranking of the top five heavyweight boxers, he's there.
Yeah, and you know, he is a phenomenal guy today. I'm with him probably 15, 20, 25 times a year. We make appearances together.
Yeah.
And he's doing great. He's got a great family, and it's always a lot of fun to hang with him. So he's doing terrific. He's one of the lucky guys. He saved his money. I'm the other guy. Saved my money, and I got out of there alive. You know, for me, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about this today, but I was the wrong guy. I mean, Don King owned heavyweight boxing.
Yes.
And because my manager wouldn't sign with him, I was kept out. So I had to find fights. It wasn't easy. I should have been fighting three or four times a year in my heyday, and I was fighting once a year because King wouldn't give me anybody.
Right. Well, and of course we know in that bout that led to you and Larry Holmes entering to the ring that you had only had one bout previously. You know, to your point, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, I hadn't fought, like I said, in the last few years, I was only fighting once a year. But, you know, that being said, listen, I was in great shape. I wanted to win that fight so bad.
I know.
I was so angry at all the racism that was going on, all nonsense.
And I want to talk more about that, Jerry. We got to go to break. We've got more from the one and only Jerry Cooney. Yes, he's in our ring right here today.
Uh-oh.
Good to have him with us. Yeah, I know. Be careful what you ask for. 18 before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We are live. Stay with us.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen Lemon with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906.
800-296-0906, 800-296-0906.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Bill Martinez.
America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Also staying with us is Jerry Cooney. And, of course, Jerry just made me jealous, as if I didn't already have enough to be jealous about over him anyway. He tells me he's on Sirius XM a couple of times a week. Jerry, tell everybody how they can hear you on Sirius twice a week.
Hey, listen, we have a great little boxing show. It's called Monday and Friday Night the Fights.
Yeah.
You know, I told you, Billy, you and I now, we have that radio face.
Exactly.
So I'm on Sirius XM channel 93 every Monday, every Friday, Eastern, 6 to 8 p.m. And we do a great show. We have all the great fighters coming on, and we talk about upcoming fights. And boxing is so exciting right now. So if you're a fight fan,
yes,
even if you're not a fight fan, give us a call. Check in on Sirius XM 93, and we'll have a great time.
Well, good fun. Well, congratulations on that and all the other things that you're involved in, and we're going to get into that. But I want to go back, if we can. 1982, you are about to, I mean, you've got the fight of a lifetime. You're taking on the undefeated heavyweight champ, Larry Holmes. This is the richest fight in the history of boxing at this point. Each of you are getting a $10 million purse. What was that like for you? I mean, you're 25 years old. I think, what was it? Larry, I think, was about 32 at the time. You come in, you're undefeated, he's undefeated. You've got so much momentum going, other than you had an injury, about 4 or 5 months earlier. And
right,
people thought that maybe that might have been a little bit different had you not experienced the injury.
But, well, you know, listen, it was a great time in the game. I never thought about money. Money wasn't, you know, part of my life. I was enjoying this ride. You know, I grew up in a really rough, tough, alcoholic family system where they told me I was no good. I was not going to mount anything. Don't trust nobody. Don't tell nobody your business. And so I was living this dream. I had about five or six guys I grew up with who traveled with me to training camp. And I was getting a chance to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world. Wow.
Yeah.
What an experience that
was. I mean, you're talking less than 1%, maybe one quarter of 1% of people ever have the opportunity to be in that position. And here you are, Jerry Cooney. You're in that very unique position and a big purse, right there on top of it.
Well, I felt like Isthmus. You know what that is?
Like Isthmus?
Yeah, Isthmus be my lucky day.
Oh. Yes, okay. You see, you're bringing in some Long Island lingo here, man. That's okay. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, we had a lot of fun. Obviously, I got injured, like you said. I tore my rotator cuff earlier in training, overextended my arm and tore the rotator cuff. And I didn't get any surgery. I did therapy. And so it turned out okay. Listen, we were $10 million apiece. It was the first time in the history of boxing that the challenger was getting parity to the champion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Larry was not real happy with that.
Well, it was, when you sign for a fight, you're two fighters. Once you sign that paper, you're playing chess with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, get the upper hand on him. He's the champion. He wants to get the upper hand on me. And so you kind of rub each other the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
He got a little bit crazy from the, it got very bad. They blew up his mailbox, and, the white-black thing was so bad back in them days.
Exactly.
And it was nothing of him and I. Him and I became great friends, but when you're going to fight somebody, you're not in the greatest of moods. He was calling me the white dope and all dumb things like that, and I was just giving it back to him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and of course all this was fueled by Don King, the ultimate promoter. Here he was, talk about playing the race card the way he did, entitling you as the Great White Hope, which I hesitate to, lend credence to it, but that's history. That's what existed there, and this is what Don King did in pitting you against Larry Holmes. It was like, white America against black America. Like we needed that, right?
Well, I appreciate what you're saying. And to tell you the truth, it caused a lot of problems for Larry Holmes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 24, going to be 25. I had five or six kids I grew up with that hung out with me in my training camp. So I never paid any attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was boiling and stuff was going outside, but it never got to me.
Right.
And so King doing all that, it wasn't doing any justice to, obviously, maybe to the promotion, he thought, but right. nothing good to Larry Holmes and nothing to the both of us.
Exactly. I think that's what some people miss. When you grow up in sports, and in this case, you're inside the ring, it's not about black and white. You're in there, you're competing, the same thing in any kind of athletic adventure. That's why it was really difficult for me when the whole race issue broke out in our small community in Ventura County, California. It was like, whoa, I grew up with all these kids. We didn't, we played ball together. I didn't think about that he was a black third baseman or he was a black catcher or anything. I mean, that was totally, inconsequential to me. I mean, these are my friends. These are people who I grew up with, and suddenly we had to deal with this difference in color, and I thought, gosh, this really I thought, and this was happening in my freshman year in college, Jerry. So I was like, what was I stupid all this time that I had friends regardless of color, but now all of a sudden the culture said, oh no, they're not your friends anymore, and we got the Black Panthers going on, and we got all this racism and reparation and everything going on, and I keep hoping upon hope that this country has finally thought itself out and realized, you and I were talking about DNA. There was a DNA report, and it said, what the difference between any race, any ethnicity, according to the DNA, we have 99.9% of our DNA in common. It's less than 1% that separates us, that makes us different. So, for all this fussing and racism that we're dealing with, it's pretty stupid. It's kind of like you said earlier, and what you and Larry represent now, you guys are best of friends. You're working for common causes to, help young kids, to help other people, to add to society. And this is awesome. And this is what I see happening across this country. But yet there are those entities. There's those,
yes.
those people that would rather us think in terms of black and white and racial division as opposed to unity. Because the fact of the matter is, and this is what we fight for, Jerry, here on this show, is we're Americans first. The other stuff, you know, Republican, Democrat, all that stuff, the political stuff, that's incidental. Most importantly, we're Republicans. We just saw what Hurricane Michael did. It wasn't discriminate. It didn't just hit Democrats or Republicans.
Exactly.
It hit Americans. And it's Americans that are coming alongside neighbors who are coming alongside and helping their neighbors get back on their feet right now.
You know, I want to just tell you, I love that music when we came back on the air. Mm-hmm. The Christian, nice Christian songs. But listen, U2, I don't know if you remember that group, U2?
Yes, right.
They said it perfect when they said all the colors bleed into one.
Yes, right.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And listen, these things are going to come up now and then. We need to just you walk away from it. That's all. I'm not prejudiced. I hate everybody. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm prejudiced against prejudiced people. That's my problem, you know. That's
the deal. I'm with you. Well said. So let's talk about after fighting, what happened and what you, and then you mentioned a little bit about you and Larry still working together on some projects. So give us an update on, you know, Jerry Cooney, his life, family, everything. What's going on?
Well, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic family. I also have 30 years. I've been clean out also myself. I haven't had a drink in 30 years.
Good for you.
You know, I had to catch up. I had to grow up. I mean, I was behind the eight ball a little bit there. Alcoholism had a big effect on my career as well. Mm-hmm. But April of 1988, I put it down. And I've been working on myself ever since. And it's a great life. I got a beautiful family. I got three kids.
Oh.
I travel. I have a great life. You know, I make appearances. I just came back from Russia, from the Ukraine, with Vitaly Klitschko and the WBC, World Boxing Council, a convention. And these are things I do all year. I promote boxing. I promote life. I promote positiveness and helping people. And, you know, I go to a couple of at-risk kids' homes every week. And I work with kids. And through boxing, I teach them how to take care of themselves. That we have to all help each other. And, you know, once you learn how to fight, you don't have to fight anymore. So.
Exactly.
I'm going.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you work with, you know, retired boxers, and you do that through FIST, F-I-S-T, Fighters Initiative for Support and Training. So you are helping them transition into the civilian world because you yourself, you know, had to transition. And, of course, you kind of did it the hard way. It's tough enough just dealing with, you know, moving into civilian life, but then, you know, you had to deal with alcoholism at the same time.
Yeah, now listen, I want to say FIST is been closed down, but we still help people all the time.
Right.
And you know, life is a struggle. We all struggle a little bit. You know, it's what Clint Eastwood once said, you know, we all died a little bit in that war. And so we don't grow up in the best of households. We don't get the proper information, but we have to keep, you know, I remember the first time I went to in recovery, I heard somebody say, can you help me? And ever since then, I've been asking that question, and I help people that come to me for help. And and that's how my higher power, God, as I call him, is pushing me in that direction.
Jerry, for the kids, for your kids that you're raising and responsible for, what is the key nugget of wisdom that you share with them?
You know, we have to continue to love each other, to help each other, to stretch out your hand. Listen, we all struggle. Life is a struggle at times, good and bad. And during those low times, we need help. We have to be able to feel confident about ourselves enough to say, listen, I can't figure this out. Can you help me?
Right, exactly.
And if you do that, there'll always be somebody there to help you along the way.
You got it. Jerry Cooney on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, champ.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com. That's NUTRIMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended